Y'all, I have to tell you about how much fun I've been having with clothing rentals from Armoire. You know that I've been using Armoire for a while now to help navigate everything from my changing body to personal style ruts. But recently, Armoire came in clutch with personalized style suggestions for a spring break trip. I tried a beautiful dress from Farm Rio and a pair of white wide leg jeans from Paige Denim. Plus, sending my items back after vacation was so easy, and now I get to select a new case full of fresh items for spring and summer. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for a more new-to-you style. Right now, Didn't I Just Feed You listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/DIJFY. That's Armoire Style, ARMOIRE.style/DIJFY to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Hey, this is Stacey and Megan with another What We Are Cooking and Eating Now episode.
In this series, we each share 3 meals we've recently cooked for our own families. We share the recipe links in our free community so that you can turn these 6 ideas into a meal plan for next week, or you can go to the free community and find other meal ideas in our weekly meal planning threads in our listener boards.
Speaking of our listeners' community boards, this month, we are answering questions from our community in each of our weekly episodes as a thank you to our awesome community. We recently updated the community to be a little bit better organized, actually a lot better organized and a lot easier to use. Don't worry though, if you're already a part of that community, your sign-in's the same, the login's the same. It's just that when you get in there, it's going to be beautiful and easy to navigate, and we're so excited about it. And it's especially easy to find these What We Are Cooking and Eating Now links.
Yes. The listeners' boards are always free, but we're also discounting Superfan membership if you're interested in supporting these free public episodes. You also get 2 bonus episodes plus an ad-free stream. Just visit didntijustfeedyou.com/community and use the code JUICY, JUICY, at checkout for either monthly or annual membership. It'll give you a 25% off supporting membership for a whole year.
That's so juicy. That's such a juicy discount. I love it.
Oh, so Stacey, what have you been cooking this week?
Okay, so there's something I've been cooking a lot. So I used to work, when I used to make videos for my YouTube channel, those many, many years ago, I worked with the most talented creative videographer. I mean, she did everything. She did the camera work, but she like helped me develop my ideas. Like, she was just the best. Her name is Beryl. And after she and I stopped working together, she went on to produce videos about food and just interesting things all around the world for a couple of really big companies. And then she started just posting some interesting food videos on her social media. When she was working with me, she was like, I'm never going to go in front of the camera. And I was like, Beryl, I think you could go in front of the camera. Then she blew up. Beryl became a star in her own right. And she, a couple of years ago, pitched an idea to PBS called Pan Pals. So a lot of what Beryl's really interested in is exploring foods from across the globe. And so she would take these submissions. She'd put out like parameters, like, okay, shoot it horizontally and this and that. Like, okay, go. What are all the ways that you eat eggs in your cuisine, in your country? And people would submit them and she'd edit them together and she would taste test things and try recipes. And Pan Pals is a show that airs on PBS where she'll have a theme. Let's say meatballs is the theme, Megan.
So that's some foreshadowing. Alert.
Yes. And then 2 people will talk about how they cook meatballs in their country. But you basically exchange recipes. So I'm going to be on Pan Pals. Woo-hoo-hoo. I'm very excited about it. And my theme is meatballs. So I exchange a little note, a little video note with these two sisters, Celine and Tara. And I tell them about my meatball dish. And then they exchange a little video note to me and they tell me about theirs. And then in filming, I actually make their recipe and they make mine. So I felt like I really needed to test my recipe well because it's a Greek meatball recipe that I never formally developed as a recipe. It's just like I just kind of wing it each time. So it's Youvarlakia, which Greeks make a couple of different kinds of meatballs. This one in particular is sometimes described as a meatball soup. Other times it's described as meatballs in an avgolemono sauce. But either way, and it really depends regionally, and each family has their own version. Some people really do make the avgolemono more like a soup. I make mine a little bit thicker, so it's kind of in between a sauce and a soup. You definitely want a fork and a spoon to eat it. The interesting thing about the meatballs is that you put uncooked rice into the meatball mixture, which I know sounds a little bit strange, but there is a long history of cooking grains and meatballs.
Yeah, I was
going
to say,
in that
Greek
region.
Isn't the only culture that uses rice in their meatballs at all.
I don't know about other rice and meatballs. There must be, but I think of grains and meatball in general throughout Turkey and like
that's what I was
like
thinking
Lebanon
of
in the Middle
is
East,
like Middle East,
like kibbeh. Yeah, it's usually not rice in the Middle East that I know of, but I don't know. But Greeks definitely we use white rice, short grain rice, like arborio rice. And you have to make the meatballs a certain size because you want to make sure that the rice cooks all the way through in the cooking time. And you don't want the cooking time to be super long. And then, like I said, you make this avgolemono sauce, you know, and on Pan Pals, I'm going to teach them how to make it so that it doesn't break, hopefully for them, fingers crossed. I was tempted to give them a version that used cornstarch instead of the egg whites. So that would like help stabilize the avgolemono, but we're just going to go for it. So Youvarlakia. I've been making them a whole bunch. And they do take a little bit longer, but they're actually not very difficult, is the truth, because you just need to let them simmer for like 35, 40 minutes. But otherwise, you just throw everything in a bowl to make the meatball mixture. And they simmer in a combination of, you can use broth or water, but then you flavor it with just a little bit of lemon peel and bay leaf in my version. And while they're simmering, you whisk the egg yolk and lemon, and then you whisk the egg whites to stiff peaks, which doesn't even take the full time that the meatballs are cooking.
It's very hands-off.
So yeah, it's like a 45-minute recipe all in, but it's very hands-off. And then there's rice and meat and this very luxurious, lemony, bright, cozy sauce. So I really consider it a weeknight meal, but probably one when you have like a full 45 minutes. Like this is not the thing you're going to cook when you're trying to get 20-minute dinner on the table.
Can I ask, what have you been serving it with? Or does that feel like a full meal? Like, are you doing like some steamed green beans? Is there any like special bread on the side?
Yeah, you can do whatever. I mean, it really depends how you want to. Like Greeks would serve it with, you can do pita bread, you can do sliced feta cheese, you could do a Greek salad. One time this week, like what I put on our notes for what we're cooking and eating now is I made fasolakia, which is Greek style stewed green beans, because they could cook in the same time that the meatballs are going to cook in. So it's just like, you know, some grated tomato and tomato puree, like thinly sliced garlic, potatoes and green beans that you just stew with a whole lot of olive oil. But yeah, like any vegetable side, I would definitely do like sliced feta cheese too and some bread if just spooning the avgolemono sauce doesn't feel right to you, because you do have a lot of sauce and the rice is in the meatballs, so rice isn't soaking up the sauce. Oliver has requested each and every time, he's like, I think you should serve these over rice. And I refuse because that just doesn't feel right to me. But like you could do that.
It's such an interesting little crux between something that's so familiar and probably like a kind of comfort food or nostalgia food for you. And also the kind of food that sounds like great family food, but like something that you don't cook all the time. So I just love that Oliver is like, but I want more rice underneath it. And you're like, that's not the way we're doing it.
Yeah, it's not the way we're doing it. And it is very much, it's not common on Greek menus that I've seen. I think of it as a home cook dish. You know, you will find it on Greek menus, but it's really something that my grandmother made all the time.
So good. So will you share the recipe with us? How's that going to work?
Yeah. So I have to just figure out with Beryl and her team, like where. I don't know if the recipe will be posted in time for this because I don't know my air date yet. But the recipe will definitely be online. Cool. And I will eventually
share it in the listener report.
Put the recipe up there. Perfect. Yes, I will eventually update the document. And I will just tell you that if you look for it, there's lots of different versions. Like, I haven't really tried other people's, so I can't say. But I will say that you should just, one, watch out is look if there's cornstarch in the recipe or if they call it a sauce versus a soup. Because you can make this a meatball soup and just, like, thin it out more. Basically, you're just using more broth. And that'll, because that really, I feel like, changes it. I like the lusciousness, the luxury of kind of a thick avgolemono sauce versus like a soup. But a soup might be an easier sell for some people in terms of making it like a dinner.
I love you because I know that soup does not really count as a dinner for you, one. And so I know that that's part of also where you're just like sauce. And then this beautiful side, like that's dinner. I don't need it to be like more brothy. But also, you're going back to this thing like that we've talked about many years ago on Didn't I Just Feed You about how sauces like really can make a meal.
Oh, totally.
Not that meatballs are basic, but meatballs can be basic. But then you're putting this incredible sauce on them and it makes them feel fancier, more revolutionary, more delicious, more luxe. I love it. Yes.
Yes. So good. I've been very much enjoying making them over.
Okay.
And over.
So is that all you've been eating? That's it. That's the one.
No.
Three recipes this week.
But I do. I have leftovers in the fridge right now. Okay. Thai chicken burgers and cucumber salad. So we had this funny moment. I think actually from me cooking so much Greek food because I had to test this recipe a bunch of times, and then I had that dinner party a couple of weeks ago where I cooked a bunch of Greek food and my friend cooked a bunch of Persian food. And like the kids are like, okay, enough. And one day we were just sitting in the living room and Isaac just like was, I don't know, he wasn't really complaining. It was all like in jest. It was all very funny. But he just grabbed Make It Easy off the shelf and he was looking through it and he was like, oh, bacon and cheddar waffles, you never make these. Like, oh, steak with like Asian salad with steak on top. You haven't made that in years. Oh, blah, blah. He like kept naming recipes in the cookbook because the cookbook really was inspired by what I was cooking for my family then. So he was like, oh, this is when you used to cook food that I liked more. He joked.
Rude.
And I was like, that's okay.
Okay.
Very funny. I was like, go ahead. Pick a week of meals for Make It Easy. Done. So one of the things he chose were the Thai chicken burgers with quick marinated shredded carrots. So I made that this week and everybody was very, very happy about it. And I just did like a Thai cucumber salad on the side, which really I just like smashed some cucumbers, cilantro, peanuts, rice wine vinegar, chili crisp. I didn't even use sesame oil, a little fish sauce. It was delicious and so easy and so quick. And I did remember like, oh, yeah. That used to be a staple and it was really good. My kids love it.
My kids love it. I've cooked that recipe for them many times. And it is in our Didn't I Just Feed You recipe archives, isn't it? Yes.
Yes, it is. I believe so. If not, there is. It definitely lives online. So there will be a link to that one. And so far, I'm 2 for 2 on just mixing ground meat in a bowl with a bunch of stuff and then cooking it.
Can you go 3 for 3? What's your third recipe this week?
Okay. I can't. The other thing that Isaac picked from Make It Easy was the miso and sweet chili glazed pork loin. And again, I forgot how freaking easy that recipe was. You just reduce a sauce with just a little bit of broth, jarred sweet chili sauce, miso paste, some garlic, some ginger. I used the Durrat shortcuts, which I'm going to just stop here and say I absolutely adore those. But sometimes when you're using something where the garlic is going to have a more forward position in your flavor, the frozen garlic has a sharpness to it.
I agree.
That is not my favorite. So it was good. It totally worked in this. Garlic kind of lives in the middle of the palate of this marinade, or it's really not a marinade. It's a sauce that you brush on while you're cooking the pork loin. But next time I won't. I liked the frozen ginger work just fine, but I would just have taken the like extra 2 minutes to chop fresh garlic. But anyway, you just reduce this sauce and then you baste it on pork loins and put it in the oven. Halfway through cooking time, baste some more on. You reserve a little bit to pour over the top when you serve it, and that's it. Okay, so I just realized that I've been interchanging between tenderloin and pork loin. So just to be clear, the recipe works with either. The difference is just that they're like a slightly different cut, and a pork tenderloin is going to be smaller and cook a little bit faster, which is really great for weeknight meals. Sometimes, though, a tenderloin is going to be more expensive. So, like, it really doesn't matter. And a pork loin, like, unless you're getting a massive one, is going to cook fairly fast, too. So interchangeable, just use that meat thermometer. You know, I love to encourage that for chicken and for pork. I don't talk about pork as much, but it's the same idea. So anyway, that was super easy for Make It Easy. I'll also link to the recipe. I'm sure it exists online. And then I just did soy sauce roasted broccoli, which Isaac didn't eat because we all know where he stands on broccoli these days. And Oliver was like, this is sort of bland. So there you go. I don't know why. Like, I just did sesame oil, soy sauce, a little ginger, and garlic, since I had those out already, and I roasted it.
I mean, that sounds delicious.
It was a tiny bit bland.
Me.
Yeah. It was a little bit bland, though.
It, you guys put a little moist soy sauce on it. Like, why are you complaining about it being underseasoned? It's not a restaurant.
But I did want it to be, I know, but I did want it to be better. Like, even when I don't know. I don't normally, like, I like, and I think I'm going to stick with it. I like roasting my vegetables with just some aromatics, like garlic primarily. Sometimes I'll mince onion too. A little seasoning, like powder, like you can do garlic powder, onion powder, and oil. And then like the flavoring, like Parmesan, soy sauce, chili crisp, fish sauce, anything like that, I like tossing right after it comes out of the oven. But more than that, the sauces. I feel like soy sauce, fish sauce, chili crisp, even Parmesan. You know how people will toss their broccoli with Parmesan before they roast it? I feel like that flavor disappears in the roasting process. Like, a little bit will add some, like, texture and a layer of flavor. But especially with an expensive ingredient like Parmesan, I just think you get more bang for your buck on an everyday weeknight. Just roast it with olive oil, salt, and garlic. And then if you want some, like, dry seasoning, some, like, herbs and spices. And then all of that good stuff that costs a little more money, the chili crisp, the fish sauce, the Parmesan, as soon as it comes out of the oven while it's still hot. And then you get more of that flavor.
I mean, we talk about this often when we talk about how to build flavor. You can't just season it at the beginning. And you can't just season it at the end. You do have to season it all along the way.
Yeah. And I didn't really follow a recipe, but I was like, oh, roasted broccoli. I was feeling bored. And I saw like sesame soy roasted broccoli. And I like wasn't thinking. I was just on autopilot trying to get dinner on the table. And I was like, yeah. And I tossed it with all the stuff before I roasted it. And I put it on a plate and sprinkled with salt. And everyone was like, yeah, bland. So reinforcing our own lessons here. Use your affordable basic ingredients to season your vegetables before you roast. And then that special stuff, toss it at the end when the vegetable is still hot straight out of the oven and then serve it. Taking my own advice next time.
Stacey, I don't know about you, but I've been in a major spring cleaning mode, including purging and organizing my closet. I'm putting away winter sweaters and donating things that don't work for me anymore. But I'm so excited to be pulling out some of my favorite items from Quince to put back into rotation.
Totally. I love the pieces that I bought from Quince last year, too. And neither of us should really be surprised. We love Quince for their quality. And by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
Which means I can actually add some pieces back to my closet after my spring clear out. I love the linen pants and top I got last season so much, but my next purchase is one of Quince's gorgeous 100% washable silk skirts.
Oh, that's so pretty. And the best part? All Quince items, from silk to 14 karat gold, are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's why I snagged my favorite oversized cashmere boyfriend cardigan from Quince instead of any other brand.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/DIJFY for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You, to get free shipping and 365-day returns. We know you're seeing all the Mother's Day gift guides everywhere, and while we usually do some Didn't I Just Feed You version, this year we have the one perfect Mother's Day gift that works for everyone. Even our last-minute shoppers, MyLifeInABook.com.
MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns the life stories of people you love into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your gift recipient a question via email. These can be pre-written questions that they provide, or you can customize the questions the way that I did for my mom. Your recipient can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
I'm really excited to be creating a book with my own mom this year, and I can't wait to hear some of her childhood memories, what it was really like raising three kids as a single mother, and how she's enjoyed becoming a grandmother, too.
And when the book is done, you'll have a beautiful keepsake for her and for you too. You can even choose to have an audiobook created from the recordings. It's easy to sign up and the process is automated, so you don't have to worry about missing a week.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code DIJFY at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code DIJFY for 10% off today. This episode of Didn't I Just Feed You is sponsored by By Heart. Longtime listeners know that Stacy and I both struggled with infant feeding stages with all our kids. Breastfeeding was hard, and choosing a formula was, well, also hard. We're thrilled to be working with By Heart, an infant nutrition company on a mission to make the best formula in the world. Not only is By Heart an easy-to-digest formula, their formula is also clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus leading infant formula. By Heart has their own patented protein blend that includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, just like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code DIJFY for a limited time. That's byheart.com/podcast and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Additional terms and conditions apply.
Once upon a time, the Greek myths helped us understand the world and our place within it. They still do.
Zeus, we have finished your weapons.
Thunderbolts, just as I saw in my vision.
Whoa, that almost hit me.
Need to improve my aim.
To not hit me, right?
Live from Mount Olympus spins these ancient tales for today's tweens and their grown-ups.
I, Zeus, king of the gods, command that you listen to Live from Mount Olympus wherever you get your podcasts.
That is what we ate this week. What about you and your family?
Okay, your sweet chili and miso pork tenderloin is a perfect segue to one of the recipes I cooked this week. Ooh, which is a sweet chili chicken.
Nice.
I am continuing to be on my simple home edits bullshit. I don't know. I mean, we talked about this, like being committed to one recipe source when you're looking for new recipe ideas is very helpful. And this is basically like a rice bowl recipe, but instead of like salmon or tofu, you take chicken breast, cut it into cubes, toss it with cornstarch, fry it in a little oil in a pan, and then you make a little sauce that's literally the jarred sweet chili sauce and a little bit of soy sauce. We also had roasted broccoli with it and then served it over rice. And it was a very satisfying dinner, even for Ella, who did not want the sweet chili sauce on her serving. She liked the crispy chicken component of it and even ate a little bit of rice. So I'm going to consider that a dinner win.
Great. That works. We love it. Sounds delicious. Sounds super easy.
Okay. I guess we're on a little bit of a chicken week. This recipe is from one of your cookbooks. There's some kismet, some overlap. This one's from Winner Winner Chicken Dinner. And actually, you talked about this in this week's episode, like what are the best recipes for cooking chicken breast? This idea that you take the caprese chicken from Winner Winner Chicken Dinner and make it more of like a sheet pan chicken parm, where you've like butterflied the chicken pieces, you cook them a little bit, and then you put jarred tomato sauce and mozzarella on top of it. And so I just riffed on that idea. Like, I didn't follow the recipe exactly, but those were the steps I took. And then finished, there was a little bit of Parmesan on there. And we had it over spaghetti with a little bit of garlic and butter and the roasted gardeniera, which I just make so, so much from Make It Easy.
I love that. Also from my first cookbook. So the recipe in Winner Winner Chicken Dinner doesn't use tomato sauce, but actually my kids would like your riff better. Because they say they don't like cooked cherry tomatoes.
You mentioned that in the chicken breast episode. That's where this whole thing came from. Sometimes I just do tomato sauce instead because kids are terrible and they have no taste.
Because kids are terrible and have no taste. I love it. Was it a win?
I think it was a win. I knew three of four of us. Ella was not into it. I think she wanted like breaded chicken parm, and this was not that.
Yeah, totally.
But
totally.
For a weeknight sheet pan meal and just like boiling, like both the gardeniera and the chicken were in the oven at the same time, and then I just boiled some spaghetti. Like that was a pretty nice meal without an actual ton of effort. So I would definitely do it again.
In all fairness to her, that is part of why I developed the original recipe the way that I did. If you're going to put sauce and mozzarella like an old school chicken parm, I also would just want a breaded cutlet.
Yeah. Also,
you know what I mean?
Being really honest, in the future, I might just get some of like the Bear frozen chicken patties that are crispy on the outside and like roast them in the oven, get them crispy, and then do the sauce and the mozzarella at the end.
Yeah. That's how I feel. I didn't. Like the idea of a traditional chicken parm with a Bear chicken breast does not appeal to me, which is why I did cherry tomatoes.
Yeah.
Because it really was like the recipe is written to be chicken caprese, not chicken parm.
Right.
Because when you expect chicken parm,
you expect crispy.
You expect chicken parm, yeah. But it is a good thing. Like it's a good riff for people who like it, but like I totally get where she's coming from. And
yeah,
I personally didn't develop, I would never develop a recipe for chicken parm without breading.
Yes.
So yes.
Totally fair.
I think the caprese is the way to go if you're going to use a Bear chicken breast.
Yes.
And I think that using a pre-breaded chicken breast is a really great sheet pan meal and a super shortcut.
I might do it again in the future just to be like, see, I heard you. Here's your crispy chicken.
Let's show her that you care.
I did end up having a lot of leftover spaghetti, surprisingly. And so I made...
Did you cook more than a pound?
No. I don't know if it was just like the veg and the chicken were like filling enough. And this was a night where it was just the kids and I, so I didn't have to feed Brian also. But I did have like 12 ounces of cooked spaghetti left over. And so I used it to make a baked spaghetti recipe, in part because, like, I had the open jar of sauce. I know there's, like, similar flavors, but they weren't all, like, back-to-back nights. We had some, like, takeout in between, and we had the sweet chili chicken in between chicken parm and this baked spaghetti. But I had, like, leftover ground meat that I had cooked with, like, a little bit of taco seasoning for tostadas one night earlier in the week. And I just used that and the leftover jarred pasta sauce and the leftover spaghetti to make this baked spaghetti recipe. I did just randomly choose a recipe off the internet because it fit all the ingredients that I had. But actually,
how did it go? How did that go?
It was really good. And it made me think, like, when I was eating it, I was like, this might be one of those recipes that's like our community will end up really loving. Because it hits all the notes of like almost a baked ziti. Because you do toss the cooked spaghetti with eggs and butter and Parmesan. So you're almost like coating them in a custard. And you layer that mixture in the bottom of the casserole dish. And then you take the like sauce meat mixture and layer that on top, plus some shredded mozzarella and more Parmesan, then more spaghetti, more sauce mixture, more cheese, and you bake it. So it literally comes out like you can cut it into squares of spaghetti. And it was like very satisfying in a casserole kind of way. Plus, it allowed me to use leftovers. And I think about like our tip that you shared, the idea of like, oh, you should cook pasta in advance and stick it in the freezer for future meals. And like, this would be a great use of that. Like, you have leftover sausage or ground beef and you like need to make a little dish out of it, pull some of that spaghetti from the freezer and toss it with the egg and Parmesan. It was very satisfying. And we were 3 for 3. Again, Brian wasn't here, although he did eat it as leftovers and enjoyed it.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So I had a week of dinner winners.
Wait, so can I say, you had about 12 ounces left over,
yeah,
which I know once you mix with everything becomes a bigger meal, but you still had leftovers after you ate it the second time, like 1 pound of pasta stretched.
Yes, 1 pound of pasta made 2 meals, one night for the 4 of us and one night for the 3 of us. And then there was just one serving-ish leftover that Brian ate as leftovers.
There was one serving.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That is a great stretch for a pound of pasta.
I don't even know how the math of that worked. Like, I did not cook extra pasta. I don't even think I intentionally served less pasta on that dinner night. But also, my kids are younger than your, like, littler than yours and might not eat as much pasta with all those other things.
I guess.
If I were to just do like, oh, we're just having buttered noodles tonight, it would be gone.
Yeah.
But I think because we had the parm.
Just fascinated. But I love
it. Gardeniera.
Yeah. And the kids like the gardeniera.
They do. That's why I make it so much, because they'll eat it.
So that recipe you mention all the time. It does not exist on our site. And I'm going to put it up there today.
You're the best.
So people can have it.
You're so good. I love you so much.
That?
So that takes us out of this episode, because that recipe will now live in our recipe archive, which you can access by joining our free community. Don't forget that you will also find the links to the recipes in this episode in our free community. So once you're logged in, they are pinned at the top of the community.
Follow us on Instagram, where we are at Didn't I Just Feed You? A huge thank you to our producer, Samantha Gatzik. I'm Stacey.
And I'm Megan. Stay sane and well-fed, friends.